Let's pray. Father, we pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to hear what you have to say as we explore God's word together. Amen.
Amen.
So we're coming to the end of our short sermon series on listening. And this is by way of a sort of summary, but also a sense in which we're looking particularly at listening when we disagree. And the first reading, which I hadn't arrived, so I'm hoping you have Acts 15, because I hadn't arrived by that point. It might be quite useful if you follow it in a Bible to have Acts 15, 1 to 19 open. Although interesting, the gospel readings that came in, that's got a bit of a sting in the tail, hasn't it? You think it's all going to end really nicely, and then someone's bound hand and foot. We come back perhaps and touch on that a little bit later, but we're going to focus on our Acts reading as we come to the end of this listening service. And this is about a disagreement. And it's quite poignant, really, today of all days. It is about a disagreement that happened in the Middle East. And we've sadly all seen on our TV screens or our news apps or wherever what has happened in the Middle East over the last week, when a disagreement and a failure to listen to one another has escalated into war, violence, death, destruction. So perhaps it's all too important that we listen about how we might handle disagreement as Christians in that context of what we've seen when it all goes horribly wrong. I want to tell you a little story. So I want to tell you about a man who is shipwrecked on a desert island. And he's shipwrecked there for 20 years. But after 20 years, a ship arrives offshore, the boat rows ashore, and he's rescued. But the captain of the rescuing boats notices something very odd. That on the desert island, there are three buildings that the shipwrecked man had built. He's built himself a house, he's built himself a church, and he's built himself another church. So after they'd taken him back onto the boat and they'd given him food and clothes, they said, "We really want to know. Explain the three buildings." "Oh," he said, "that's easy. The house, that's where I lived. The church, that's where I worship. The other church, that's the one I fell out with and left." Now, we might chortle to ourselves, but let's be honest. As Christians, we have a rotten reputation in this area, don't we? We disagree and fall out over all sorts of things. We hold grudges for ages, and we miss the many things that we agree about while focusing on the few things that we disagree about. And the end result can be people leaving churches, it can be bitterness, it can be divided communities. And as a historian, I can tell you, and I'm not going to in this sermon, in history, it's led to more than its fair share of bloodshed and violence and wars as Christians have disagreed really badly about certain things. We know this to be true, and we need to confess that we have played a part as a faith community in that. So in that context, let's look at the story of Barnabas and Paul and the way that they met for what was, and I'm sorry, we're going to get a bit churchy for a moment, this is the very first deanery synod in history. You've just had read. I can just feel the excitement building here. You're really interested now. Deanery synod in the Bible, yay! So, let's see what happens. The first church is facing an issue of new people. It's growing. But there are new people coming into the church who are doing things a little bit differently. They're not following the norms and patterns of the way we do things around here, because they're not Jews. They're Gentiles. They haven't been circumcised. They're not following the law that the Jews have been brought up to follow. And the church aren't handling it well. They're saying, no, we can't have this. You've got to be like us. If you want to be in our gang, you've got to play to our rules. We never do that in churches these days, do we? We never expect people to behave like we behave, dress like we behave, or follow the unwritten rules that we follow. Let me tell you another little story, and this is one of those urban myths, so it probably never happened, but I'm going to tell you the story anyway. So there is a church, a bit like this church, and as the service got underway, the door opened and two young men walked in. Now, the usual congregation had done what they usually had done, was scattered around the building, mostly towards the back, but not entirely. The two young men came in, first time ever in church. They didn't know what to do, so they came and sat on the floor at the front. There was a bit of a frisson in the church. Don't you know you sit at the back in church? And the warden of that church, who was a quite formidable character, is Ed here? Oh, good, I say if I can carry on, great. Quite a formidable character, stood up from his seat at the back and began to walk down the aisle. Service leader didn't know what to do. There was tension around the room. What would happen next? And as the warden arrived next to the two young men sitting on the floor, who hadn't seen him coming because they were just facing the front waiting to see what's going to happen, he just sat down beside them. You want to come to our building? You want to sit on the floor? Fine, I'll show you it's okay. I don't know how you react to that story. Should he have shown them to a seat? What should he have done? But it's a kind of symbol, isn't it, of the fact that we do things unconsciously, actually, usually, the way we do things in church. Just like the Jewish Christians were thinking, hang on a minute, these new converts, they're not really doing things properly. They're not doing things the way we would expect them to do them. Now, Paul and Barnabas had been commissioned by the church to go and preach to the Gentiles. So they were in the business of preaching to these people who weren't following the rules properly. And so they didn't agree. Why should they have to obey our rules? God has spoken to them. God has welcomed them. Who are you to say? So there was disagreement. Now, what we know, if we carry the story on to the end and beyond where our reading goes, was the net result was the church accepted that Gentiles didn't have to do things the way that Jews did. It didn't matter. But actually, what's really interesting in this first deanery synod is the process and the things that the church, that Christians did when they disagreed. How did they listen to each other? How did they get to the point where they come to agreement? And it's something that we as church, particularly when we disagree, and let's face it, we will disagree. Hopefully you'll disagree with something I say so you can tell me and we can practice it afterwards. What? Argue with the sermon? It's okay. It's allowed. What did they do? What's the process in this deanery synod? So, let's look at some of the things that happened. If you want to have the Bible in front of you, that would be helpful in Acts 15, but I will talk you through it. The first thing they did, Paul and Barnabas and the church in Antioch, is they made sure that they listened together. And the first thing that happened in verse 2 is that some men were appointed, some people were appointed to go with them to Jerusalem. Now, we all know that when we're listening, we all hear slightly different things. If I did stand at the door and say, what did I talk about this morning? You'd all tell me something very slightly different. Hopefully, you'll tell me something that was roughly the same, but slightly different, because you come away hearing slightly different things. It's quite normal. It's a human way of processing information. And the church recognized here that actually this was important, and we need to make sure that we hear together so that together we make sure we understand each other's point of view. This also kept Paul and Barnabas accountable for the decision being a church decision, not just a Paul and Barnabas decision. It's good practice. It's something you'd expect to do in the workplace. You listen better together. As a church, we listen better together than listening as individuals. What happens next? Now, this is really striking. The church in Antioch that were pro these Gentile Christians doing things differently, and the church in Jerusalem that were saying, no, you need to do it our way, they knew they disagreed. And yet, when Paul and Barnabas came down to Jerusalem with their group of friends, if the heavy mob had arrived to start the discussion, what's the first thing they do? Tense, nervous silence? Look, angry looks? No, the first thing they do is to greet them. Because they know they may disagree, but these are brothers and sisters in Christ. These are people who are saved through the precious blood of Jesus. These are our friends. We may disagree, but what matters is that we stay in relationship. So they disagree in relationship. They disagree together. They knew this was going to be a tense meeting. They knew that there were strong opinions and emotions flowing, but most of all, they knew they were brothers and sisters in Christ. So they needed to stay in relationship. When we disagree, brothers and sisters, let's stay in relationship. Let's start and finish by staying friends. And that's a message that we can take as a church when we disagree. We listen to one another in love. What happens next? Well, the meeting gets underway. And I love this little phrase in verse 7. Any of you who've ever been on a PCC, church council, or any other committee will resonate with this phrase that I've seen in minutes more times than I can remember. Verse 7, after much discussion. Friends, it was not a short meeting. You would not have got home for your lunch. Sorry. But that matters, doesn't it? It matters that if we're going to truly listen to one another, we give each other the gift of time. That actually we need to make sure that we've truly heard. Not, well, that's very interesting, right, but can we move on? We give each other the time to listen. And the first thing that happened is that we listened after much discussion. And the principal players, Paul and Barnabas and James, aren't mentioned here. Other people got to say their piece, got listened to. So there's plenty of listening and plenty of time given to what was being said. This was an important issue. Don't rush it. Give it time. Those of you who want PCC meetings over in an hour, fine, just don't discuss important things. Because we need to give these time. Then what happened? It's really interesting. It goes on. There's a lot of discussion as you follow through the reading about what's actually happened. People are bringing their experience. Well, you know, all these Gentile Christians, this is what's happening. Then James starts to speak and he shares this experience, but then he turns to Scripture. Then he turns to Scripture and he references what we've discussed with what the prophets say. And we can be really bad at this as a church, if we're honest. We're really good at saying, oh, my experience tells me this, my experience tells me that. I've seen this, I've seen it elsewhere. We all do it. Perhaps we're less good at saying, what does Scripture tell me? And that's not to say that there's some kind of magic bullet that says, if you turn to Habakkuk chapter 25, it doesn't exist, by the way, before you turn your Bibles. If you turn to Habakkuk 25, it clearly says, anybody who says it clearly says, there's a warning mark straight away. But Scripture is a place where we believe, as Christians, God's will is revealed. So if we're looking to disagree and we're looking to make decisions, we should be listening to Scripture as well as one another. So when we listen to each other's experiences, let's listen also to the Word of God. And the last thing that happens at the end of this reading is quite remarkable. Absolutely extraordinary. It never happens in churches ever. people change their minds? How often have you seen a church say, oh, I was wrong, let's do it a different way? Now, either you've fallen asleep or you think it's so normal that you wonder what I'm talking about. Does it happen in this church? Does it happen in any churches you've ever been in? Do people change their minds? It's not easy, is it? It's not easy for us to admit that, oh, we may have got this wrong, or we may change our mind on something. But actually, interestingly, they have gone through a process of listening in relationship over time with Scripture, and it's taken to a point where they can come to one mind, even if people have changed their minds. Maybe that's a model for us as we seek to wrestle with decisions where we disagree. It can be too tempting, can't it? Oh, let's just make a compromise. Actually, let's try and admit that we may be wrong occasionally and change our minds, because we all have our little traditions and assumptions about the way things we should be done. We all do. We may be aware of it, we may not. It might be about the kind of building where worship should happen. It might be the kind of music or the words that we use. And that isn't just our traditional people have that. If you go to a modern worship setting with a rock band held in a warehouse, they will have exactly the same assumptions about the way things should be done. We all do it. And yet, what those things are not as important as what we are here to worship, who we are here to worship. They're just traditions and assumptions and conventions and culture. What matters is the thing that unites us, which is that we love and serve our Saviour Jesus Christ. And that applied to this church meeting in Jerusalem. What united them was that they loved and served their Saviour Jesus Christ, and they were able to agree through listening on something that they disagree on. As we bring this sermon series on listening to an end, let's go back to where we began. When the series started, we were reminded that actually one of the great gifts that we can bring to the world as Christian people is the gift of listening. We live in a really, really noisy world. You might think sitting in a quiet church here on a Sunday morning, well, what are you talking about? Step outside. Be assaulted by the noise. The news from Gaza or Israel. You know, the adverts, the cars, whatever it is, we're in a world where there is lots of talking and relatively little listening. And I'm very conscious of the irony of me saying that while I've been talking at you for the last 10 minutes. And you've been listening, well done. I hope you have, anyway. But what we can offer is a gift of a listening ear in a world that desperately needs to be listened to. In a world that sometimes feels nobody listens because everybody's too busy talking. Remember the Gaza situation. This is where people don't listen, and they have been fractured and divided and can no longer listen to each other's point of view. The result is bloodshed, violence, death and destruction on a huge scale. We may not feel that we have the gifts and the abilities to walk into that situation and ask people to listen, but there will be situations where we can be offer that gift of listening, especially when there is disagreement. It might be in our families, in our communities, even in our churches. Let's offer the gift of listening. Lord, start with me. Amen.
Thank you, Kevin. We're going to now declare our faith.